Welcome to the Click Podcast. I'm Danny Watson, a mindset and manifestation expert and founder of The Click, a company that helps women overcome their fears and limiting beliefs to create a life and business that they love. Within this podcast, I will help you get clear on what you want, identify the blocks that are holding you back, transform your mindset and raise your vibration so that you can co-create magic with the universe. If you are looking to design a life that truly sets your soul on fire and manifest more success and abundance, then you are in the right place. Good morning, ladies. Well, I am recording this podcast, as I record most of my podcast episodes, off the back of a wonderful morning ritual. So my morning routine has become probably the favourite part of my day, actually, mainly because I think it's the time of my day where it's completely for me, where I can really just kind of go inwards and really just cater to my own needs before I start working, before I start looking after my daughter, before I start, you know, seeing to everything else that I've got going on in my life. So for this episode, I really wanted to go into what my morning ritual consists of. Now, for me, my morning ritual has to be a non-negotiable. It's not just something that I do during a weekday. I do it every single day. I will even do it when I'm on holiday. And I find that if, for whatever reason, if something's cropped up and I've not, for whatever reason, been able to do my morning ritual, then I've really noticed the rest of the day, things just feel a little bit off. My energy just feels a little bit off. I find that anxiety and stress gets to me more. I respond more to fears. So there's definitely a difference when the days when I've not been able to do my morning ritual. So for me, it has to be a non-negotiable. Now, admittedly, it has some days been quite challenging to get up and do my morning ritual. So at the time of recording this, my daughter is, she's 17 months and she co-sleeps with us. And she also wakes up pretty early. She is a baby that does not need a lot of sleep. And so I have to make sure that I am able to get up before she wakes up. So it can mean actually having to set my alarm pretty early some days. And there are some days when she gets up earlier than expected, which hasn't given me time to do the morning ritual. So fortunately, my partner can sort of take her and it still gives me that space. But I think for me, it's about making it a non-negotiable for yourself. Making it as important as it would be, let's say, you know, a business or a work meeting. You know, as soon as you make that a priority rather than an afterthought, you are saying yes to yourself first thing every single day. If for whatever reason you get up and there isn't space in your morning to do that morning ritual, find somewhere else in your day that you can come back to it. So if I've not been able to do it in the morning, I will make it a non-negotiable that before I go to bed, I will do that exact ritual again, so that I'm not just, you know, oh, well, I've not been able to do it today. You know, I'll save it for the next day. You know, again, it's about making yourself a priority. Now, before I started doing my morning ritual, which, by the way, is something that I've been done very much since the beginning of my business. But before I started doing this, it tended to be that I would wake up and the first thing I would grab would be my phone. I'd maybe check social media, maybe check my emails. It was very unintentional. It was very just kind of autopilot, coasting through the motions. You know, there was no kind of thought process behind this. And obviously, to pick up your phone first thing in the morning and scroll through social media, for most people, that isn't serving you. You're not being intentional about that. You're just kind of being very, very aimless. And if you're aimless with your morning, what you're going to find is you're going to become very much aimless with your life. You're going to coast along with your life as well. So this morning routine, then, it's not just about making yourself feel better in the morning. It's also about helping you carve your life in the way that you want it to. It's about being directional and intentional about where you want your life to go. For me, what the morning ritual really does, it gives you a sense of clarity on where it is that you're heading for. It helps you to really kind of pay attention to how you are feeling and be proactive towards how you are feeling rather than being reactive. And what I mean by being proactive is that some of the parts of the morning ritual, they're designed to help you feel a certain way. They're designed to help you put your focus and attention on what you want rather than unintentionally thinking about what you don't want. And so what I found before this morning ritual was that I was waking up and not only was I scrolling through social media aimlessly, but I was also thinking about all of the things in my life that were going wrong. You know, oh, I really hate my job, or my relationship isn't good. Like my worries and fears, they were the things that I was coming back to first thing in the morning. But of course, what we focus on expands. So if you are on autopilot thinking about negative things, thinking about the parts of your life that aren't going right, what you're doing subconsciously is you are creating more of that. And this is so relevant for when you first wake up, because as you are slowly waking up for the day, your brain is still in that sort of sleepy, receptible state. Okay, so when we are asleep, that is when our brain is really, really relaxed, and our subconscious mind, that's where our subconscious mind becomes more receptive. And then as we gradually wake up, we start to shift more into our conscious mind. So catching yourself at that first point in the morning, just as you start to wake up, just as you're still kind of tuned in with that subconscious mind, that is the best opportunity to start doing the work to change some of that subconscious programming. And the morning ritual then is designed to actually help change some of that autopilot subconscious programming, replacing some of our negative thoughts with more empowering things, allowing ourselves to get intentional and focused on what we do want rather than just aimlessly thinking about what we don't. So let's start then with the first part of my morning ritual. Now, this is, with full disclosure, I actually took part of this morning ritual from a book that I read. It's a book called Hal Elrod, The Miracle Morning, a book I read so long ago now, but it's always really, really stuck with me. And then there's a few parts of my morning ritual that I've kind of added in that have been just my own thing. So if you want to check that book out, it's a really great book to read. So that's Hal Elrod, The Miracle Morning. But my day will always start with silence, meditation. Now, again, because this is something you're doing when you've just woke up, I find that I have to get myself out of bed to meditate. I have to kind of move myself a little bit to wake myself up. And I've realized that I cannot meditate lying down, because if I do, I will go straight back to sleep. So for me, meditation has to be sat upright. I take myself to a different room in my house, and I sometimes will light a candle, especially if it's the winter and I'm waking up and it's still very dark. I will often have my crystals around me. I may light an incense or have some aromatherapy oils burning. So I just kind of set the scene ready for my meditation. And I will tend to just sit upright, either on a chair, or I may sit on my yoga mat to meditate. But that will always be the first way in which I start my day. And how I use meditation as part of my morning ritual, it will depend on, I guess, what I'm really needing at that point in my life. So I use meditation for lots of different reasons. It might be to get answers on things, to really tune into my intuition. Our intuition speaks the loudest in the moments that we are the most quiet. So in those moments of silence, that's when we can hear our intuition and also the universe the loudest. So maybe it's a particular decision that I've been like trying to figure out or trying to decide upon, and you know, I'll use meditation to get some answers. It may be that I just need to need meditation to kind of de-stress and just to relax, where it might be just me kind of focusing on my breath. I really like to do guided meditations. I use an app called Insight Timer, which has got lots and lots of beautiful guided meditations on there. I've also created my own guided meditations as well, which I often love to use. So I've got meditations that are around manifesting, around self-love. Maybe it's at that point, perhaps it's working towards a specific income goal, and maybe we're kind of coming to the end of that income goal in my business. So the meditation might be centered around money. So I will go with whatever it is that I need at that particular moment. And I normally do my meditation. It would normally be for about 20 minutes. It depends what I've got going on during my day, but I would normally say at least 20 minutes for a good solid meditation. Moving on then, from meditation, I would normally then come into some sort of affirmations. And again, these are going to differ depending on what I actually need in my life at the moment. So affirmations are either going to be about things that the person that I am, so I am affirmations, or they're going to be affirmations about things that I have. So I have affirmations. And basically what I'm doing here is I am reiterating who I am or what I have as if those things are already present in my life. So it might be, let's say for example, like taking it back now to when I first started my business, one thing that I just really wanted to happen was for me to be my own boss. I wanted to be out of my job and I wanted to be working for myself and just to have that freedom. So one of my affirmations was, I am my own boss. I am my own boss. And I would repeat this over and over. But with affirmations, it's not just about going through the motions and just saying the words. You've got to embody the feeling as well. You've got to embody the emotions as if what you are saying is already true, as if you are already currently living that as your reality. So if you're saying, I am rich, if you've not got the emotion of wealth attached to that affirmation, you're just saying words. They're just empty words. Manifestation works when the energy you are emitting is aligned with your desires. Your energy is all tied in with your emotions. So moving on then, and for affirmations, I'd probably say I normally spend around 5 minutes, maybe sort of 5-7 minutes on affirmations. I will tend to say them in front of a mirror. There is some power, I think, in connecting with you in yourself in a mirror, making that eye contact as you say those affirmations. You know, especially the ones that are linked to your sense of worth. So I am worthy of receiving my desires. I am enough. I am amazing just as I am. You know, those I am affirmations, I think connecting with yourself in a mirror, there is a lot of power in that. I also then spend some time visualizing. So I have my vision board. I have physical vision boards, but actually I really just love my vision boards that I've created on Pinterest. And I have short term, medium term, and long term vision boards. So my short term vision board tends to be the things that are I'm looking to manifest within the space of the next month. So these are kind of my short term goals. My medium term vision board, these are things that I'm looking to manifest within the next year. And then my ultimate vision board, these are the things that I am looking to manifest, kind of the big, big lofty goals. So these are probably more like my sort of 5 to 10 year goals. And my vision boards will always change. I'll always kind of add things on or take things off depending on what I've manifested or, you know, to kind of reflect my desires as they change. And so I will spend some time each morning looking at my vision boards. And it tends to be that I use my boards in different ways. So my short-term board, that is very much my focused attention on my short-term goals, what I'm looking to achieve. And that for my morning visualization process, that tends to be where I would put most of my energy. The things that I'm expecting to manifest in the short term, in the next month, to help give more momentum to that. The more energy you give to something, remember, the quicker it's going to show up. So my short-term goals, that's kind of where I give most of my energy. And then I also look at my medium-term goals and also my sort of my bigger goals. But for the most part, my attention will be on what am I looking to achieve over the space of this next month. Now, the ultimate vision board, though, I do make sure I still come to this on a daily basis. I will have a period once a month where I will really kind of spend some time looking at that ultimate vision board. So once a month, as part of my daily routine, I will give more of my energy to those ultimate goals, because being connected with that bigger vision, that's the thing for me that really gets me excited. And my medium-term goals, there'll be once per week where I'll kind of give more focus to those. But on a day-to-day basis, it's normally, what am I looking to achieve over the next month? And really kind of making sure I'm being really focused and intentional about the manifestation of those things. Again, emotion here is important. It's not enough to just look at the images on your vision board and just be like, oh, okay, well, that's great. That's what I want to manifest. You have to start embodying the emotions as if what you are looking at is already your reality. So this is why, alongside just looking at my vision board, I like to actually then close my eyes. So I almost use my vision board as a trigger, like just to kind of give me that flash of inspiration. But then I will close my eyes and I will take myself into a scenario where that vision is a reality. So let's say, for example, let's say over the course of the next month, I am looking to achieve a certain income milestone. I would look at that number on my vision board and I would then take myself inwards and I would think about how it's going to feel at the end of the month when I receive that money. I would imagine myself like looking into my bank account. I would imagine myself receiving the emails from the clients that have signed up to work with me, how saying how excited they are to work with me and my company. You know, I try and visualize the emotion of hitting that goal, me and my partner celebrating. What are we going to do to honor our progress? Okay, so again, like I'm creating those emotions as if what I want is already present. And depending on how vivid your imagination is, this might be a skill that you need to develop over time. I feel like I'm pretty blessed with this because I've always had a really, really powerful imagination. Like when I was younger, my mum used to tell me that I would sit in my garden for hours chatting away with my imaginary friends. And I have really quite powerful memories of this. I had a little Wendy house in my garden and I would create these friendships and I would be in my Wendy house playing. And it was, for me, it was really, really real. And that's the power of your mind. So some of you may naturally be quite good at this, but if you're not, think of it as a muscle that you're just going to need to have to strengthen. And you do that by doing this work every single day. Okay? So using your power of your mind to create that emotion. Now, after visualization, there's a few other things that I like to do, exercise being one of them. Now, it tends to be for the first part of my day, my exercise would just be something quite short. So it might be sun salutations, it might be a really short like yoga session, you know, it'd be something that I will do in my home rather than me going out to an exercise class. I am a member of a site called Allo Moves, which is a yoga, and they also have like HIIT classes on there and bar classes. So I love that because it's got lots of different styles, but also different lengths of classes. So there's some on there that are just 10 minutes. I tend to just spend around 10 minutes for the exercise piece for my morning ritual. It's just really about getting your body moving, getting the blood flowing through your body, which is naturally going to raise your endorphins. It's naturally going to make you feel better, feel more energized, feel more excited about your day. And then I also do some, so this is actually, I guess, the difference between Hal Elrod's Miracle Morning and my routine. So he recommends reading. Some days I will read, and it will be something that will inspire me, something that will keep me uplifted, something maybe to do with mindset or law of attraction. But some days it might be that I will listen to a podcast, or I will, you know, watch a YouTube video, or maybe it's a coaching program that I'm enrolled in, something, you know, that I'm learning, and I will maybe read something from that. So yeah, I will kind of, the way that I see it is I spend some time consuming information that is serving me, consuming information that is lifting me up. And again, I will probably do this for about sort of 15 minutes, I'd say 15, 20 minutes maybe. And you can probably see that my morning ritual is pretty leisurely. It's not always been that way. When I was in a job and I was also building my business up alongside it, some days my morning ritual could literally be 1 minute on each of those things. And it's not about how long you do each of these things for, it's about being committed to it. It's about making it a non-negotiable and saying, even if I just meditate for 1 minute today, at least I have done it. You know, it's about making sure it's always made a priority, not, you know, oh, well, I don't have time for this today, therefore I'm not going to do it. Everybody has at least, you know, 5, 6, 7 minutes in their morning. And if you don't, if you feel like you don't, what can you give up? Where can you carve out that extra time? If it's a case of getting up 10 minutes earlier, then so be it. But you have to make this work a priority. Okay, where are we? So we've done exercise, we've done consuming information. And then the last thing for the Hal Elrod, at least, is he talks about scribing, which is journaling. So I will always spend some time journaling. I love to journal about the things that I'm grateful for. So the things that are already in my life that I'm grateful for. But I also like to do preemptive gratitude journaling, in that I journal about the things that I'm grateful for that haven't yet happened, but I am grateful for them as if they have. So I would say things like, oh, I'm so grateful for, so as an example here, like one of my things that I'm wanting to manifest for my future is a house in Spain. And I've got this really kind of vivid image of this beautiful white Spanish finca with, you know, big open space, and it's got its own like infinity pool and it looks out to the sea. And this is something that I've visualized so often that I feel as if it's already mine. But in my journaling, I will write out gratitude statements as if it is mine already. And I will say like how grateful I am, and I'll even go, like, the level of detail I'll sometimes go into with this, you know, I will talk about waking up in the morning, you know, and I'm in that home, that finca, that beautiful home in Spain, and I'm opening up the doors to my balcony, and the sun is just creeping up over the horizon, and I can smell the jasmine in the air, and I can, you know, smell the lemons growing on the tree below, and I can see, like, the glistening of our pool and the sea in the distance. You know, I really go into a lot of descriptive detail when I'm doing this journaling. You know, I will say how grateful I am to have my yoga instructor come to the house in the morning, and I've got this beautiful, like, yoga studio connected to our house, which again, like, looks out to the sea. So I'm, you know, I'm very, very vivid with how I create things. And I think that level of detail, that's the thing that creates the emotion. So, journaling. Now, with Hal Elrod's, he kind of ends the morning routine there. There's a few other things, though, that I like to do, which he doesn't mention. One of them is having a celery juice. I got this from, it was the medical medium who I discovered on Instagram. And you can go look him up. And to be honest, I don't really know much about the science behind it, but there is something in celery juicing that just makes you feel really great. It's a great thing to be putting into your body first thing in the morning. It leaves you feeling really energized. It's a really great cleanser of sort of toxins from your body. And it's just a really great way to start the day. So I would have a celery juice. And then the other thing, which I also like to do, is to take a cold shower. So I think everything that I've spoke about so far, they're quite nice things to do. Like, they feel good, they make you feel good, like, it feels exciting to do them. A cold shower is not one of those things. A cold shower feels uncomfortable. You know, it can feel painful as well if it's really, really cold and you're in the depths of winter. A cold shower is not comfortable. So why do I suggest this as part of your daily routine? Well, the reason being is that it is something that you're doing first thing in the morning that gets you outside of your comfort zone. It builds that emotional resilience. And I think there is a lot to be said for getting yourself out of your comfort zone as much as you can. Your ability to withstand discomfort is strengthened the more often you are getting yourself outside of your comfort zone. And believe me, a cold shower, that is one of the most uncomfortable things in the world. And once I've done all of those things, and typically it can take anything from an hour to an hour and a half. Some days I might have really lengthy meditation sessions. Some mornings they may be a lot shorter, but it will always finish though with me feeling really, really good about myself. And again, it's about me having said yes to me before I get distracted with all of the things that I've got going on in my life, like my family, my daughter, my dog, like my business, my clients. I have said yes to me first. And that is really important because we cannot pour from an empty cup. We have to make sure that we are serving our own needs first so that we can then give back to our loved ones in a much more powerful way. So I hope that you have enjoyed this episode. I hope that that is giving you a good overview of what I do for my morning ritual and has hopefully inspired you to create your own if you're not doing it yet. But thank you very much, ladies, for tuning in. It really, really does mean a lot. I'm so grateful for you. Have an amazing rest of your day, and I will connect with you again very, very soon. If you are wanting to build your own successful online coaching business, make sure to check out Freedom, Abundance, and Impact, our free 10-day business and mindset course for coaches and aspiring coaches. To access, simply head to wearetheclick.com and click free course in the menu.